Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord sea.
Then we shouldn't analyze stuff, but right now we're in a state that everything is just, whew, Lord have mercy, you know. And I did look up and see where Lincoln did the Thanksgiving and why he did it. Not saying he was necessarily true, because I always thought it was a pilgrim and the Indians too. But I don't know, you know, we can always come up with something to just feel bad about. And I'm not saying we should, and to feel bad without organizing for something that's wrong, that's a whole nother kind of way. And that's, there lies the difference right now with us, is that they're keeping people feeling bad, our children. They don't have a good moment. They march in the, some of my kids march in the Festival of Light, my grandchildren. Oh, don't be in that. It's like, and all these folks who tell our, who's directing our children, they don't even be live in our community. And all these folks who tell my white folks, that's all, they live around white folks. They, not only do they live around white folks, white, they got money and they got bodyguards and everything. It's like, come walk the community, come be in the community. Leadership used to be there. But most of these folks you see talking all this stuff, you don't even see them in the community anymore. All of them, none of them. As much as I like Al, you don't see none of them. They removed themselves from the community for some reason. Listen, there's something to come. And you know, Brother Al, my brother, I've known him for quite a while. But when you look at Don Lemon and all the other folks, and I'm going to talk about it later. I want y'all to be listening. And I'm going to talk about it now at 7 o'clock because I really do want to talk about the fact Joy Reid, that's all she likes to do is find stuff to talk about how bad our country is. And I told y'all, this one man called and said, why should I talk about it? Because our country gave her a way to come in. And the things that the descendants of enslaved blacks in America endured and the fights we've had and the way we feel about America is not the way if you come in. She came here for refuge, and we gave her that, her and her parents. And, of course, her father gone back to the Congo. And we gave them that. And then you got some things that some of the blacks weren't able to get. But every time, because I think they think that if they talk about something else, they won't have a job. It's like that's somebody writing for them. I would like to see them talk about the state of the education in the black community and the state of economics in the black community and why it is and why it's that black students are behind everything. And even these folks who come in here, they get quality education like the Ukraine. They got them in the school and giving them what they want. And they let these folks in America speak in their languages instead of America so you don't know. And then they tell them you have to be bilingual to get a job. And it's just a mess. But the reason I'm bringing this up, and I'm going to be talking about it more in the coming months and weeks, because you know we in my generation can't get oil from Rockefeller well, can't get diamonds from the mine. That's a song we wrote in the civil rights movement. But we fought them for what they was doing in South Africa and other places in the diamond mine with those men. That was our fight with the men. Digging the diamonds out, and they had to take every day, they had to get x-rayed all up in their butt and stuff to make sure they weren't taking none out. And the women had been there probably. It's like, so we said the stuff that, I think they, Rwanda might have did a movie about the diamonds. I think so. And why am I talking about that? It's because I told y'all the planes can't fly without cobalt. And I told you that the other stuff is in the cell phone. All those minerals are in Africa. I was looking at something yesterday, and I already knew it, but when I saw it, I cried. To see these children over in the Congo digging all of that cobalt, that stuff, minerals out of the earth, not making that much money, but trying to help, wasn't going to school, digging all that memories, all that stuff out. It reminded me of the diamonds. And the women, some of them sitting there waiting on their children with the other babies, and they were sitting how the other babies had was exposed to had other babies exposed to the cobalt fumes and all that other stuff. And they was talking about, because here this administration talking about climate reparation to other countries, and they were saying this kind of stuff would never get to those people. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm going to talk to my grandchildren because they don't understand how Africa was exploited for its diamonds. And they need to go look at Rwanda, whatever that movie they did about diamonds, I think. But even before that, we were in our 60s. When I was a teenager, when I was with Dr. King and some of us, we were talking about the diamond mines and how the Africans was being treated. And their own resources. Now, these are their minerals, their resources, and it's rich. But at the same time, they're poor and they can't get none. China got them over there mining these resources. Now, why are you saying that, though? You know Joy Reid is from the Congo. Her father went back. I think she and her mother are still here. I would like to have her to do a discussion on what they're doing to those children over there. That's what I'm talking about. Not that I'm opposed, but you can talk about the country that allowed you to come in. And black folks love her, and a lot of black folks, and they listen to her, and it's always, it's just terrible. I just can't, you know, and somebody, like I watch her, and some of the stuff she just mess up, and how they did us, she ain't no us. If we want to talk about enslavement, that's for the descendants of enslaved blacks in America to talk about. I'm not sure where the Congo sold black folks, but a lot of African sold us. That's how they got us. But they still, that's part of our diaspora. Those are things that the diaspora has to discuss about what happened and how we got here and how can we do what we got to do as a total diaspora. Because blacks in America was not the only, in the United States of America, was not the only one enslaved. A lot of the other Americans was too. And they sold us like they're doing the minerals. So she won't discuss that. But I want to hear what she's going to say about the Congo. What's happening to those babies in the Congo is a disgrace. I saw those little bitty children no bigger than my great-grandchildren or my great-grandson. I just digging that cobalt just and putting them off. That's all they're doing. And that's the stuff that telephones and airplanes and those solar plants that you want to put on top of your house is made out of. So Africa have, see, they do Africa the way they do us. I guess maybe, I don't know, I know, I hope I'm not DNA. But like they took all of our inventions, all the things we've done, and our songs, everything we had, and our richness, even with our culture and all our stuff and our music, and they didn't make us think we don't have nothing. And then we go and beg for a record deal and all that other stuff. Or different stuff, or we come up with stuff, or have a community, all that different stuff. Well, in Africa, they're able to take in all the resources. Africa have no business being that poor. Africa is very rich. The resources. That's why you know Jesus was born in Africa. Because God loved that place. That's where the baby came out. The baby, the black woman had the baby. All life came from Africa. And for Africa to be so rich, I mean, I want y'all to know that y'all should look that up. I was so hurt, tears came to my eyes. Because I'm looking at these babies. These babies out there digging this cobalt. And I knew what the stuff was because I told y'all a few years ago about the cobalt. I remember when I was in a conference about 15, 20 years ago, before these little bitty phones came out, when they had the big ones. And I was in a conference in Washington. And the brother was from, he was really together. The African brother, he was fighting, but Gaddafi was still alive then. And he was trying to work out how they should be able to set up their communication and how they should be able to do their business. And all the, that's when I first learned about how that cell phone, stuff that we do the cell phone, how it was made from the minerals from Africa. I don't know where he's from. I can't remember what country he was from. But we had a whole conference about different stuff. And I talked to him after he got through speaking. I talked to him later when we was eating. And it was very interesting. And this is before Rwanda come out and all. Well, he was talking about the, we have them, we should not let them get it. He was very militant. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if they bought him out or killed him. But he was really serious. He's also talking to Gaddafi and all of them about that. That's when Gaddafi was saying that he wanted to put together the United States of Africa. They couldn't have that because that's where the minerals are. Obama bombed Gaddafi. Don't y'all forget that. And Gaddafi thought that was his friend. He came over to be and to meet his brother, and Trump gave him some of his land to pitch his tent, and they was all kumbaya and all the other stuff, and Hillary got with France, and the same countries that split up, see, because y'all listen to these folks without understanding real history. When the colonists, when they split, the Dutch, the Europe, all of them, France and all of them split up when they decide to do enslavement and get this different slave stuff going on. And Europe was deep, and they had already worked it out with some of those folks over there who was going to sell us. The same folks who did that is the ones that came together and decided Gaddafi had to be killed. One, because he's so bad, because Gaddafi given up all of his weapons because the United States told him to give them up, because he didn't want to come in the mainstream. That he gave up the stuff that he could have defended himself with because he had faith that wasn't going to happen. But he was putting together the United States of Africa. And I got some other stuff to talk about, but when I saw this, I was just hurt. So he was putting together the United States of Africa, and he had brought some of the Africans over to work. He was showing them how to irrigate stuff. He was really pulling them together, because what y'all don't know, if you're in Senegal and you make a call, the French is in charge of that. Your calls go through France. Like if you're in Ghana, you go through Britain. They don't even have control of their communication system. And our people don't understand that. But Gaddafi wanted to put the United States of Africa. You imagine the United States of Africa? That country is rich. That's, and y'all, we from Africa. We came from originally. And we, come on, y'all. You from America, your continent. You don't even know what country you are yet. This is what you can claim and know. You know, but we came out of the African continent as we look. But the country you don't know for sure. Some of us think we came. I almost know where I came from, where my daddy, where my people came from, and I don't discuss that. But I do know, because I know my matriarch, the matriarch, my father's grandmother, which is my great grandmother, came from New Orleans, Mama Dean. You know, and they speak French. She's from that. She came from that French part of Africa. That's why when I went to Senegal, I could see all my people. But that's where she came from. I gotta think. I don't know whether my grandmother came up out of there or somewhere else, but I find out. I do know that. So, but as they, so we talk about that stuff without knowing. Most of y'all haven't even put y'all's feet in Africa. You haven't walked around Africa. You put a foot, you even put one foot, nothing. You walked in the water, but you can talk because you have this glamorization that you don't understand. And so people like Joy and all of them will make you give up what we fought for. And kick it aside, and then they'll give you the strength and the energy to build. Because even during the enslavement, if you look at history, you'll find those brothers and sisters who came from Africa, they came from Haiti, they came from everywhere, all the other Americas. They created things, and I'm going to do a whole thing on that. I've already been working it out to really go and to name where these folks came from, what they did. In spite of the circumstances, it was worse than this. But because of the love that they had for their people, their children, their church, their faith, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, they was able to build hospitals and schools. And folks were like, well, broken home. We had broken home because white men broke us up. Frederick Douglass came from, but he didn't know who his folks was. But that did not stop him. And I'm talking about it for a reason, because I got some other stuff to talk about, y'all. We get ready to go into election and a bunch of other stuff, but Joy Reid had to talk about. Because please, y'all need to get online and tell them folks to make her stop. And ask her when she's going to make the Congo to see about what those children are doing. But, you know, this is so sad. So when you look at Africa and you and our brothers and sisters and see what they did, how they built hospitals, how they built schools. It was the whole diaspora. You say, DuSable discovered Chicago. He was from Haiti. Haiti is part of the diaspora. Jamaica, Brazil, all these different islands are part of the diaspora. And they are part of the enslavement. That's why you get along real good with Jamaicans and all of them. Because they, too, was enslaved. All those countries, all those people was enslaved, too. But if you read what we built as we moved, how we did ships, how we did schools, okay, how we built hospitals. And you going to tell me that we're going to allow somebody to make us think we can't do nothing today? Makes no sense to me. You going to tell me that a Frederick Douglass, who was able to move on and get the best publication newspaper it was, or you talk about Drew, or you talk about all those people who did stuff, just all the things that our people did in spite of, that we should sit by and allow our babies today not be able to read, to write, not to have education, math, and science? All of the struggles that our folks here, and I'm talking, when I say our ancestors, I'm talking about the people and the descendants of enslaved, the foundation we stand on, all the stuff they did, all the stuff we built based off of that? Are you telling me that we got to allow this to happen when you had a John Johnson who took some few hundred dollars from his mother and built an empire of full S.B. Fuller? Or I'm trying to give you in our times. Makes no sense. Carter G. Woodson, who pulled together a team over there on Wabash Y, and all the stuff, what he say? He talking about the miseducation of Negro. I mean, the brothers who used to be out there in that park, around that tree, even Paul Roberts and all of them come out there, and they discuss stuff and all that. You mean all the things that we had to do, that we can't do that now? Why? Because somebody else got your mind. Somebody else telling you you're nothing. Somebody else telling you you are less than. You inferior to this person. This person, it's a mess. So then the reason I was around the table talking to some of my grandchildren yesterday, I just listened to them because they thought they knew something. Some they knew and some they didn't. The one, this is her fourth year in college, she's going back Jamokin. Well, let me tell you about it, Granny. We have these discussions at school about the Africa, and I'd be telling them, and I was just listening to her, and I was trying to inject some, but she had to answer to us. I left her alone for a minute. I'll circle back, but I'd be hearing them talk, and then you got the TikToks. I said, you watch TikTok? Yeah, I watch. I said, you shouldn't. You're too smart to watch TikTok. China got their children watching math and science, and a lot of their children watching math, and got our children that. But you're going to tell me the little, you're going to say, oh, they come from broken homes. Their mamas ain't nothing. Uh-huh. That's baloney. All this money we spend on education, it's who you got in the schools, who you have. I knew that Ms. Mingo loved my children when she had them. I knew that Ms. Hunter and Ms. Simmons loved my children in kindergarten. I knew Ms. Daly, that was this black teacher in Mollison, loved. Well, you had teachers who really still was hanging on to that old way of saying, you can do this. You had other folks in there, but they was not a majority in our schools, those other folks. And you pushed the child to where they had to go or when my children had problems. I could go talk to Ms. McLemore. I could talk to Dr. Beverly, Dr. Travis, some of them. They had them black men and had the black men and at principals. And you had people there who knew that were still connected to the time that we had nothing. So we got to stop talking about, well, they come from these homes and so on. This stuff is being programmed. And black babies are the only one they talk about like that. All these folks dragging their babies and coming across that water, they don't talk about that. But the problem who they're attacking are black folks and Appalachian whites. Them pulled the whites from down south of the Appalachians. Why? Because all those people built the country. You know, those folks go to war for you. Should we not have an army? You know, so I'm saying that we got to do something. So when I saw the Congo and I saw that special and I turned, and I went to watch MSNBC, watch Joy Reid, and she was talking about Thanksgiving and how blacks, how we got enslaved, blah, blah, blah. Her father, called her father and asked him to start a movement on what they're doing to the children. I hope her father ain't over there making no money off the Congos. Maybe that's why he went back, so he can get a deal to get some money from that Congo stuff, from those minerals. And it's not just in the Congo, it's all of Africa. And sometimes my brothers and sisters come from Africa, they come here, and they don't go back. And I don't know, maybe because they don't think they can do nothing or what. I was talking to one brother one day. He was talking, well, you know the problem with y'all had together, don't you tell me that? All the stuff we went through, the enslavement, how we still came up and created a place that you can come to. But it's the first time we turn our back on God. It's the first time we turn our back on our ability. So I had to tell y'all that because I saw that. And y'all should look it up. I was just hurt. Them babies, they look just like our babies. And they're little strong, them little boys' brain and stuff, and their mama sitting up by the water, around the water. It's just like when I was in Senegal, and I went to the Pink Lake. And y'all don't know about the Pink Lake. They say it's pink. The reason it's pink is because the salt. so much salt comes to that water turn pink. But to see them folks that walking out there, they legs and stuff raw, getting the salt, putting them in piles. I said, well, what's going on with this mess? And they told me that that's the Pink Lake. That's where they get quarters for each pile. And these folks get this done salt, and they send it over here, more than all of them. But them folks out there bare feet walking, they got sores all on their legs and stuff, the Pink Lake. Some of y'all been to Senegal, you can call and tell me if you've been to the Pink Lake and that you went to see our brothers and sisters out there and walking and digging that salt up out of the Pink Lake, putting those salt piles. They have tried to get so many piles because they got a quarter per pile. Misuse and abuse. Why y'all want to talk about us? Come on, give me a break. Because, see, if we're strong, Africa is strong. When the descendants of enslaved blacks in America was being where we were so strong and we were fighting back, more Africans got their independence. And Nkrumah and Dr. King was best of friends. Best of friends. Dr. King went over there with him. He did a sermon on that once. So keep us weak. Rob us and rob them. So I had to tell you about that. Now, when I come back, what I got to talk about, today is the anniversary of the death of Harold Washington. In memories of Harold Washington, if you want to talk about that, we can talk about the memories. I'll do that in a second. Today is the 26th. Is this the 26th anniversary? It's got to be longer than that. Of Harold Washington's death, we will be, after we leave here, we're going to put on, I got to go home and dress because I got to go to the Annette Hubbard's thing. I'll talk about that later. And I put the wreath that we always put by his statue that we have at Harold Washington Center. And what I would like for you to do later on is bring your children and tell them who Harold Washington was and take a picture over there. We're going to put the wreath out today, and it'll stay out for about we usually keep it for a little while. So this is yesterday, 25th. So yesterday was the anniversary of Harold's death. Was the 25th was the anniversary of his death? This time it came around, so we're going to put it out today. We didn't get out yesterday, but we will be putting this wreath out, and we'll be putting our sign up and memories up of that. Okay, so for y'all who want to come out to do that, so you want to talk about Harold, you can. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, do I have to take a break? Okay, I got to take a break because I'm talking about the Congo. But I forgot to tell you, Edmund Tubman, slaves was the only commodity that was traded from Congo. So Joyce, we're going to have to send her some message and say, let's talk about the trade slaves from Congo where you came from, where your daddy is. Are you a descendant of one of those traders? I'm just make back up sometime. Give that Melissa Harris Perry had that seat. And she undermined and took Melissa Harris Perry place, who was a descendant of an enslaved woman. And Melissa Harris Perry was a good person. Out of sight, out of mind, y'all don't forget him. Okay, now I'm going to have to take a break, and because I want you to know that today is Harold Washington's. We're going to be celebrating his death today, and we will be putting the wreath out when I get through. And I'm going to talk on the other side. I'm going to talk about today at Push at 10 o'clock. I got so much to do. They're going to be celebrating, they're going to be honoring Arnett Hubbard. Great Judge Hubbard. Great actress. Great before. She was great before she became a judge. She was, Harold had over there with her and sent her over to South Africa she was there when they did the voting for Mandela. This is just a lot of stuff. So we'll talk about that. When we come back, and if we have time, because we got to have time, because a lot of folks filed their petitions, and I want to talk about those who filed. The last day to file is the 28th, and some have already filed, and I want to talk about that. So much I want to talk about. I don't know. There's so much I want to talk about, y'all. But let's talk about it. Don't get confused, and don't hear the Harold say, deconfuse yourself. But Harold said, don't get confused now. And Harold said, love yourself don't mean you hate anybody else. And don't let nobody sell you no wooden nickels. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVUN. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.wvun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us off your go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. You can get us on Blog Talk if you miss us. Get your coffee, get your tea. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee tea in a conversation with me. He had the great WVON in the city of Chicago. Get your coffee, get your tea, or whatever you're drinking. Come on back. I'll be back in a minute. Be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Dr. Willie Wilson, son of a sharecropper.
He left home at age 13 to mop floors and flip burgers with a vision for a better future for himself and those like him. A future where he can make a difference by creating jobs, by helping the disadvantaged, by giving back. The great city of Chicago needs Dr. Willie Wilson as mayor to bring out its best.
I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Stop by Legacy Men's Boutique in Bronzeville and treat yourself. You deserve it. No matter what your destination, Legacy has got you covered from business to classic cool. They have neckties, socks, shirts, jeans, shoes, and top it off with a suit and a top coat. It's an experience you'll truly enjoy. It sure feels good to shop and support a black-owned business. Legacy Men's Boutique is in the heart of Bronzeville, 107 East 47th Street, or visit their website, legacymensboutique.com. Shop on by from Legacy Men's Boutique. Quality clothes and accessories at thrift store prices. Legacy Men's Boutique.
Greetings, WVON family. It's your brother and friend, Bermanio Bedelli of the Activist Hour. Join me on Saturday mornings as we discuss a holistic and public health approach to addressing community violence. We will also be discussing ways that we can create a safe, peaceful, economically thriving, and healthy communities. Join me Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. on WVON for the Activist Hour.
Yellowstone, television's number one show, is back on Paramount Network.
I, John Dudley, do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the state of Montana against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Featuring an all-star cast led by Academy Award winner Kevin Costner.
The invasion is over.
They will fight you dirty.
Is there any other way?
As the Dudley family fights to protect their legacy, they'll learn power has a price.
Signing this is a declaration of war.
We're already at war.
Yellowstone, new episodes Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Paramount Network.
When you can't stop, there's Vicks VapoRub. Vicks VapoRub sends powerful medicated Vicks vapors right to the source of your... so you can experience cough relief and breathe easier. Generations of families have trusted Vicks VapoRub to help relieve the worst cold symptoms. So next time you have a cough, reach for the Vicks VapoRub. Vicks VapoRub. Cough relieving is believing.
I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. One more time. Say it loud.
Say it loud, say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. Say it loud. I'm going to see. Say it loud, say it loud. We're back, y'all. How y'all doing? I'm going to try to take some calls in a few minutes before I go on this break. Like I said, it's those 35 years. Dog. This is hard to believe. 25th. I always remember that day. But I'm going to talk more about it on the other side, too. Because I was there. I'll never forget looking at him. I was standing there where they was going in and out, working on him, myself, and Sappho, some of his guards, and some of the rest of us, Barbara Norman, a bunch of us. Just a few of us was in the back there. When emergency, where they were working on him, and I could still see that door, him laying up in that doorway back and forth. Whew. That's something in my face I'll never forget, seeing that man there up there and working on him and praying and crying, and a whole lot of stuff went on that day at the hospital that we'll discuss later. But anyway, we will be talking about Harold Washington today, what you want to do in the remembrance of Harold Washington. Because, you know, we always get around close to, it's close to all these other folks who want to tie their butt to Harold Washington and don't even understand how he even got to be the first man. Why in the history that black folks in Chicago are so excited about a black mayor? And there's got to be a reason. We're going to talk about that, too. And then you other folks come out, I want to be the first gay mayor. I want to be the first Hispanic mayor. I want to be the... I tell you, they always try to follow behind us. But we'll talk about that, too. Talk of Chicago, 69WN, 773-591-6090. We're streaming live at www.wn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and we're on Blog Life Video. We're commemorating Harold Washington, his death. Yesterday was anniversary's death, and I think Joe's and the rest of them went out to the cemetery. I don't know. I might would have gone with them, but they went. Thank God. I don't know what Plump did. I know he did something probably, but we don't want to let today go by without talking about him and what it means. And as I said, after I get dressed to go over to push for Arnett Hubbard, I'm gonna run and put the wreath in commemorating him. And if, so you make sure you take your children by, look at it and read it and take a picture with him, okay? So they can know who and why. The history of Harold is important, not just because he was the black mayor, but why it's so important and stuff like that. Okay, I'm going to go to the phone. Will, you got me first thing this morning, didn't you?
So I'm saying, will you tell me I've got something? Did you check yourself?
You got to turn your radio down. You're on the air, Will.
Yeah, okay, excuse me. How you doing?
All right, your business all over the air.
I'm talking, my radio was too loud.
Yeah, okay.
That's all you play, say it loud, you're black and I'm proud.
Okay, I'm back.
But let me, first thing I want to talk about Harold Washington from the Great Third Ward.
Yeah.
And, you know, home of a black political assault.
Mm-hmm.
I remember meeting Harold back in 1976, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Third Ward, we was fighting against old man Daley. You know, and we surrounded Ralph Metcalf, and Harold was up in there talking much stuff.
Well, he and Metcalf and Stroge and all of them came out of the Third Ward Democratic Organization up on the third floor.
Yeah. Black power. We were in Chicago. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. When the headquarters on
40. You was from the Third Ward, you know.
I represented the Third Ward. Of Alabama.
Let me say this.
Well, before you say this, Will. What I was going to say is on 47 and South Parkway, up on the second floor on the corner is where the Third Ward office was, right?
The first one was on 50.
No, I'm not talking about Kendall. That's where the Third Ward, Strogan and Harold and all of them.
The first was on Wabash, right there on Wabash, 47 Wabash.
Well,
We was right there with Teresa.
Well, before your days, they was over, they was up that the headquarters for was on up there on that on,
I,
on that second floor.
I was born. I lived at 4747 State Street, Dorothy.
Okay, come on.
My father lived at 4747 State Street. My mother.
Okay,
lived,
okay.
They always would do something. My grandmother was the Philippines.
Okay, well, we just want to know that that was the Third Ward organization. That's all. Their organization was
they
up there.
They sent me over there. They said, "You want to learn politics? You go over to the Third Ward." That's my father.
Okay.
Go over there.
Okay.
Over
what
there,
else?
You gotta learn. Mm-hmm. So let me tell my sister Regina Glover. You heard she passed away, right?
No.
Yeah, sister Regina passed away.
Yeah, she inherited. She
one of the people you was in the struggle with.
Yeah, she's over Marion Sampson, all of us come out of Cabrini.
Yeah, y'all was rebel rousers.
Oh, I'm so, my prayers out to her and her family. Prayers to her and her family.
Oh, yeah, so sister Regina passed away. It's going to be a memorial service for her. And I'll call back next week and tell you about it.
Okay.
Because otherwise, take up the time.
Yeah, we was over there.
Talk about, they have a reparations thing coming up here in Chicago next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to be a national conference of reparations. That's what I was kind of interested.
Where are you going to have that at, Will? Because I won't take some more calls.
In Evanston.
In Evanston? Who's calling that conference, Will?
Rod Daniels.
Oh, yeah. I know Ron. Uh-huh.
Okay. And Cobra and some other groups, they're talking about the city reparations, but I'm saying...
Did Cam step down from N Cobra?
It seems that he did step down from N Cobra.
Okay.
But it seems that they have a problem with, because they only have a town hall meet for 2 hours, and they're not dealing with the question of the stuff that you were able to take in and talk about in these different cities across America, what you did in 203 around the whole question of identified these corporations and their relationship.
And you know, we was very serious. That's why they had to get us about it. We weren't playing no games.
Come on now.
And we did the research and the information, and we were ready. We had every region in this country ready to move on these folks. But they moved it because they don't want to talk about the corporations. They want to talk about just about the government, because I think, J.P. Morgan and all of them.
James Foreman, remember James Foreman did the Black Manifesto and got the Episcopalian said they're going to get $500 million up. Nobody's been monitoring. Did these people ever do that stuff? Did they ever come to Disclosure Act about these corporations? What is this? We got to start asking them for you.
They still have to sign it. Somebody do need to get FOIAs. I got to go. The FOIAs have to go because you still have to sign them. But why they not playing reparation? And none of them asking to look at, they have a right to look at all of those deals that those folks are doing to see. So ask these, all of them, have they been following up on it? Will, I got to go because I want to try to take one more call before I go on break.
I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. Let me know now about Regina.
Remember Harold Washington, remember Sister Regina, because they were struggling for the people.
What Harold said, because I love black folks. I mean, I don't hate nobody else, but I love black folks. Thank you. I loved Harold, I tell you. Let me get Michael. Michael?
Hi, good morning. This is Michael O'Connor. How are you?
I'm fine, Michael. How you doing?
I am fine. Dorothy Tillman, I fell in love with you when you and Marion Stamps and y'all pushed the kids to the back and with Conrad and knocked what's his name in the head? Moore.
Knocked him in the head. The kids wasn't there. That was for CHA.
No, I know. We wasn't.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I want the record to be straight. And we didn't hit Moore in the head. We were fighting for CHA, and he was trying to keep us out, and we snatched the mic from him.
He was on the board.
Yeah, he was on the board. Wait, Mike. I want to make sure the record is straight now. So I know you know it, but I want to make sure. And then we took the mic from him, and we're going to have this meeting because we was fighting for CHA.
Wait a minute.
But that's when they arrested.
I know.
They arrested Lou Palmer, Marion Sampson.
That's when we had real activists here in the city of Chicago, as far as I was concerned.
Listen,
I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I got a chance to work in the Harold Washington campaign.
Uh-huh.
And I got a chance to work under Zenobia Black, and when I wasn't working with Zenobia, I worked with Hope Mueller. That's when I saw you again.
Yeah, Hope. Did Hope pass away, didn't she?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people have gone. You know, when the kids who I know ask, well, I tell them about hell washing because my thing is they need to know young while they're in school that hell Washington reflected the making sure that we were inclusive in terms of jobs, contracts, and representation.
Right.
And those three things made a world of difference. They're the reason why the Eighth Ward, even though John Stroger was doing what he was doing, the Eighth Ward finally got certain streets paved.
Well, I'm going to talk about Stroger when we come back. But you know what? I'm
not the third war politics. Oh my God!
You know what?
Mm-hmm. Something else I wanted to talk about.
You got
about.
30 when seconds.
When you were talking about the kids in the Congo, the young people, not kids, but young, you know.
Have you seen that commercial? Have you seen that? You need to look that up. It hurt.
Yes,
it hurt me, Michael. I cried when I saw those children out there. It hurt me. I really cried.
6 years old, 5 years old, digging in the mines.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back as far as Leopold. And now we're having the same thing being done in Africa, and very few people are talking about it.
That's why I talk about Joy. Wait a minute. That's why folks get mad at me. But Joy Reese is from the Congo. Her father went back. Her and her mother's here.
Yeah, but
she,
you know what?
She don't even talk about it.
She cannot stop. The fact that
she can talk about it, though. She can talk about it like we did with the diamond mines.
Right.
That's what she got to do, Michael. Now, don't make no excuses for her.
That's...
She's from the Congo.
No,
don't talk about me.
I ain't making excuses.
Yeah. Her father went back. I got to find out what he's doing with
it. We got to stop her. I don't care who went back where. We have to be able all over the nation to talk about this.
Got
to
talk about it. I thank you for mentioning that too, Mike. Got to go talk to Chicago, 690 BVN number 773-591-690. We're streaming live, www.bvn.com on iHeartRadio. Take us up. You go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. We're on Blog Talk. If you miss us, we're talking about Harold Washington. And we're also talking about the Congo, about Africa. And I got other stuff. I'm going to talk about the election on the other side. And I still talk about it to you.
Well, good luck with that. Because the filing date, and they ain't playing down there at City Hall. They knocking people off the ballot.
I know it's deep. We're going to talk about that at 7 o'clock. Please listen, Michael. Thank you. Dorothy Wright Tim, coffee in the conversation with us. Don't forget slaves was the only commodity that was traded from the Congo. Be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
A journey below the Mason-Dixon to understand the soul of a nation. Perry is a professor of African-American studies at Princeton and travels to her southern roots for a closer look at race, politics, and identity. During her acceptance speech, Perry said in part, "I write for my people. We, the children of rope-choked, bullet-ridden, desecrated, are still here." The National Book Award was established in 1950 and is one of the world's most prestigious literary awards. All right, well, meanwhile, there's a spike in home births in the United States. There were more than 50,000 in the United States last year. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics reporting that's a 12% increase over 2020 and the highest level since 1990. Home births were up 21% for black women, 15% for Hispanic women, and 10% for white women. West Virginia reporting the highest increase of 49% between 2020 and 2021. But the report says home births are still rare.
Premature births are at a 15-year high. This places a substantial number of infants at risk for physical and intellectual disabilities. The March of Dimes reports the latest data finds that more than 1 in 10 babies in the U.S. were born at least 3 weeks prior or prior to 40 weeks of gestation. That's a 4% increase from 2020. People of color and those in impoverished areas are considered at highest risk for premature birth.
All right, well, lawmakers looking to end slavery for the incarcerated. The Black Information Network's Natasha Williams reports.
When the 13th Amendment was ratified in 1865, it abolished involuntary servitude in the United States, with the exception of using it as punishment for crime. On November 8th, voters in Tennessee, Alabama, Oregon, and Vermont weighed whether to eliminate language that allowed involuntary servitude in prisons, joining three other states in doing so. Colorado was the first, joined by Nebraska and Utah. Representative Nakima Williams and Senator Jeff Merkley have co-sponsored the abolition amendment to amend the slavery clause. I'm Natasha Williams on the Black Information Network.
All-star gymnast Simone Biles and her fiancé Jonathan Owens have released their engagement photos. Owens popped the question back in February, and the couple has been enthusiastically planning for the nuptials. Biles has already chosen her dress for the big day. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
SMEAN.
Access means owning a home.
Access means growing my business.
Access means building generational wealth.
No matter your goals, U.S. Bank Access commitment programs and initiatives provide the tools and resources to help you reach them. Access your financial goals at usbank.com/access. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, WVON family, some of you know me as Mark Pullins, some of you know me as Tony, and others know me as that guy from Roseland Matters. But you all know me as Loretta's the Aloe Lady's son. The Aloe Shop is back and better than ever with our premium aloe juice. 16 years ago, I had a stroke and was totally paralyzed on my left side. My mom brought me a case of her premium aloe juice, and through the grace of God, a mother's love, and the Aloe Shop's premium juice, I have no visible signs of ever having a stroke. No other aloe juice compares to the juice at the Aloe Shop. I drink it every day, and you should too. Please come visit us at 117 East 95th Street or call 1-866-256-3747 or visit The Aloe Shop, TheAloeShoppe.com. The bitter truth is the bitter juice.
I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Illinois' population loss was the third worst amongst U.S. states from July 2020 to July 2021. 2,400 businesses in the Chicago area will never reopen due to the COVID-19 pandemic. As mayor, Dr. Willie Wilson will work hard to restore Chicago by lowering taxes to keep people in the city, helping small businesses get back on their feet, and expanding access to infrastructure. Dr. Willie Wilson, leading Chicago to a better tomorrow.
I approve this message.
Greetings, family. This is Salim Wakil asking you to check in with America's most astute radio audience every Saturday between 7 and 10 p.m. and astound family and friends with your bulging mind muscle. Join our global classroom where we're all students of the world.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Over the past 2 years, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas and her Black Houses Matter show on WVON had returned more than $100 million to Cook County homeowners.
$142,250,000, $369 to date given back in the African American community.
That's a whole lot of dough. Listen every Monday at 11:30 a.m. to Black Houses Matter. Spread the word. Maria Pappas is on the air every Monday, and she's bringing that bag to the station where it pays to listen. We're WVON.
What a wonderful world. Yeah, it's a wonderful world.
Chelsea is merrily scratching a holiday instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery. So even though her gingerbread masterpiece crashed to a mess of pieces, Chelsea's cheerful because she knows anyone could win in an instant.
Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 years or older to play. Game modes available at IllinoisLottery.com.
Joan Colasso, Executive Director of Timeless Gifts Performing Arts Program for Youth and Young Adults, inviting you to our 13th Annual Christmas Duets Mentoring Concert and Fundraiser, Sunday, December 11th at the Logan Center for the Arts. Timeless Gifts performers have been busy doing phenomenal things, a highly successful four-night theater run, a recording project, a short film project, summer program, fall program, and so much more. And now, another amazing heartwarming performance in December. Come and enjoy this musical journey with us as we celebrate the holiday season in song. Our musical guests this year are the Chicago Experience Band, killing it with their authentic tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band, Chicago. We're honoring Mr. Joe Perillo with our 2022 Lifetime Achievement Award and honoring the memory and legacy of attorney Rolla Klepak, hosted by NBC Channel 5's Leanne Trotter and WVON's Pam Morris-Walton. That's Sunday, December 11th at the Logan Center. For tickets, go to timelessgifts.org or call 312-808-0005.
AARP wants to help you maximize your money. That's why on Saturday, December 3rd, they're presenting their first Maximize Your Money Summit at the University of Illinois, 750 South Halsted Street from 8 a.m. to 3. Attend 9 sessions to help you get your finances on track. And AARP is offering complimentary breakfast and lunch. It's AARP Maximize Your Money Summit, Saturday, December 3rd at the University of Illinois, 750 South Halsted from 8 until 3. It's hosted by nationally syndicated financial columnist Terry Savage. Attendance is absolutely free, but you'll need to register, so call 1-877-926-8300. That's 1-877-926-8300, or you can visit event.aarp.org/QALOXX. It's AARP's Maximize Your Money Summit. It's Saturday, December 3rd. Don't miss it.
Babies are born with protection against some diseases because before birth, their mothers pass on proteins to them that are made by the body to fight disease. Breastfed babies get even more antibodies from breast milk, but protection is temporary. This is Dana Devine, host of the Equal Health, Equal Hope show. This Saturday, we'll talk about how vaccination is critical in creating protection from several diseases, preventing tens of thousands of deaths. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
Dad! Come on! Over here! Look at this, Dad! Over! Whoa!
The moment my son saw a redwood tree. Is the moment I knew that for him?
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Yellowstone, television's number one show, is back on Paramount Network.
I, John Dudley, do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the state of Montana against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Featuring an all-star cast led by Academy Award winner Kevin Costner.
The invasion is over.
They will fight you dirty.
Is there any other way?
As the Dudden family fights to protect their legacy, they'll learn power has a price.
Signing this is a declaration of war.
We're already at war.
Yellowstone, new episodes Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Paramount Network.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Don't need the road we travel.
difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
Hey! I don't mind, y'all. Who gonna let you get to the mountaintop? Everybody can't go there. You got to be close to God to get to the mountaintop. I know folks want to talk, think that's a joke. But you got to have a special relationship with God. But there's one thing about going to that mountain. You can fake and go up there too, or try. Is that one thing about being at the mountain, it's a hard fall down, because one little thing will knock you down. I remember Bubba used to tell us that everybody want to be on the low road, because there's so many people on the low road, you just make yourself in. But nobody want to go high. I don't know what that stuff Michelle talking about. But I'm talking about this. Nobody wants to be doing stuff that's right on that higher road, because you can be seen. You have to keep yourself together. But I'm just having, that tell y'all, it's 7 o'clock, wherever you are in the state, in the city, in the world. It's time to take that deep breath and understand that whether you're in the Congo or whether you're in Ghana or whether you in South Africa or whether you in Chicago, whether you're part of the diaspora. That's why I say black, because Musk is an African-American. You say black. We are brothers and sisters of the diaspora. But they have that country. Our country is America, but we're part of the diaspora. Oh, really? Evan just told me Joy Reeves was born in Brooklyn, okay? Her parents are from Chicago, huh? Okay, take a deep breath, y'all. It's time for the black. I just got Ebony. Take a deep breath, y'all. Let's take it. Black. Come on, y'all. Black. Ebony of Paris, from the Congo. Black. Is that black enough for you?
Tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody hill will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. We are back, y'all, and I got some corrections to make as I come up back on, but the phone is ringing, Ebony. Okay, I'm proud of it. I'm black and I'm beautiful. One thing about us, tell Ebony that phone just ringing. I will correct myself if I have to. Okay, Regina is going to have her, the memorial is going to be in St. Luke Church, her children call in. St. Luke Church of God, 914 North Orleans on the 10th of December from 11 to 1. Okay, we got, they're going to, Push will be honoring Inez Andrews today. Inez Andrews, I mean, Lord have mercy. I need to go get that trick off my brain, don't. Arlette Hubbard today, Push will be honoring her. And I'm making sure I get over there. And then she, Arnett Hubbard was is a wonderful woman who put on a lot of contribution to black people. So if y'all want to go over there, Push will be honoring her today. I'm certainly going to go to Judge Hubbard is her name now. But back when before she became the judge, she was a lawyer who helped a lot of black folks. And she was over in South Africa when to make sure she monitored the election for Mandela. Just a great activist for black people. I love Arnett. So make sure you get over if you can. And today we will be also commemorating the death of Harold Washington, the mayor, the great mayor of the city of Chicago, by putting out, we put next to his statue every year. And so before we go, we're going to do it before we go. I have to be at Push at 10, so I have to go home and change clothes real quick and go do that. And we're talking. Now, the other thing is about Joy Reid. Now, you know, I be on her all the time because her father is from the Congo. Her mother is from British Guiana. I don't know a lot of great people. Now, British Guiana was enslavement, too. That was part of the enslavement from the British. You got French Guiana and British Guiana. So her mother's from British Guiana, and her father's from the Congo, and she was born in Brooklyn, so forgive me for keep saying it. She was from Guyana, from Congo. So usually what they do is give the child a father wherever he was, but her father's from the Congo. So I just want to straighten that out I had to tell you that so you won't think I'm just not giving you everything. She was born in Brooklyn. Her mother's from British Guiana, and her father was from Congo, and they were able to come over here, get married, have her, and do what they had to do. So, I mean, you want to talk about the history, let's talk about it. But I wanted to tell you that. But we've been talking all morning about a lot of things. I'll tell you about the Congo over there, how we was able to fight about what was going on and with the diamonds. And now you got to look at what's going on with the cobalt. It is really deep. I cried when I saw that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about on this side is also, I want to talk about Harold, but I want to say the last day for filing is the 28th. So far you have, the mayor have not filed, but King filed 3,700. Willie Wilson filed, King's 37,000, and Willie Wilson filed 61,000. Valley's file, 40,000. Ken Buck's file, 24,000. And Green file, 300,000, whatever. Let me tell you, this. One of the people that was in the, that filed, one of the people, contenders is running. Tell me, now you say how much support? No, I'm going to tell you what about these filings. That doesn't represent your support, because if you notice, everywhere you went, people, they paid those guys $2 and $3 per signature to stand online on the corners and get the signatures. And that's not making contact with your voters. This don't turn into votes. They just don't do it. It used to be that, and then they don't even give you anything out on the candidate. Will you sign my petition, man? Please, you can tell me you see that. I asked how much you're getting. This is get $1. Now they give $2 and some premium get $3. No contact with the community. Just sat on the corner and get signatures because they don't. And you know what's sad about it? the elected officials should have an organization that can go door-to-door in their community and hook up with somebody else to get it, which means they don't have no working organization. And these other folks in these other communities have working organizations. When you're a committee member, you're alderman, you're supposed to have an organization. That's the whole point. But they don't want to be bothered with this new breed that have, you used to call them precinct captains. I call my people community reps. You have community reps, the precinct captain, then you had the area chairs. And people who did would look out for you. They would know when there was a problem before you even called about it. If you tell them it was a problem, you send them out there to see. You're not going to lie to Miss Mayor, will you do so and so? Would you sign my petition? Here's some of my candidate. Would you get your family to sign? It's like people have really taken this election and government stuff for a joke now. It's not serious anymore. They don't care about you. I'm not saying all. Might be some that do. But you got to care and you got to work. It's like there's another county. I was talking to a colleague, used to be a colleague of mine, not in office, that not in alternate. And we was talking about the difference in these folks and how we were. We were just different. And it's unheard, I think, now Michelle Harris over in 8th Ward probably still have her organization. Austin had one before she got into trouble. Pretty strong, 34 years pretty strong. Now he's all the way in 21st, all messed up. She told the judge she couldn't come to court because of her health, but she don't understand it. You have to be, but you can go to counseling. You got to be careful with that because they'll throw it back on you. And so these folks really, now I saw some folks at Marianne the other day getting signatures for a Latina getting signatures at Marianne for the mayor. She said she want to file last. So he haven't filed yet. So he's going to file last with the mayor. That doesn't, you know, it's like, this is going to be interesting, especially as we celebrate, commemorating Harold Washington's death. See, people don't understand the reason we put Harold Washington in and why we commemorate, these folks probably will never get commemorated because they don't understand. Now, you don't, the reason Harold get commemorated is because before Harold Washington became mayor of the city of Chicago, the highest office that a black person held was in Congress. And we held them up. That's why Metcalf was so important and did a lot. Was a great leader because he was a congressperson. Before that, Dawson. I mean, I'm saying that was the highest thing, and people could touch their government more back during that time. You know, they go to all of them. They could call. It was just a whole other kind of thing. And you had an organization. Like when I was in office, you know, like Margaret Smith was in my organization. My state rep was in my organization. My state senator was in my organization. Paul Williams was my state senator, my state rep. My senator, Margaret Smith, all of us was in one. We were one group that worked together, on down to the congressman. We was a group, and them other folks still do that. That's how I was able to get Maddie Hunter in as senator, because by Marcus Smith being my senator, and I remember Pat Bailey was running for Daley, running on that west, back on the other end, and a bunch of folks was running. I had two precincts, and I remember Daley telling me, "Will you support Pat?" I said, "Uh-uh." So I spoke to his brother, John. I said, "I support Pat in those two precincts. If when Margaret Smith stepped down, you give me that seat that you don't be fighting, you give me your weighted votes," because I was a chairman. And I said, "I have most of the weighted votes." That's how you do stuff. And I said, "If I have your weighted votes, then whoever I choose will be mine." So he was a man of his word. So when Margaret Smith stepped down, it was time to get another senator for that seat. I'm just telling you how power worked. It was time to get another senator, and everybody wanted this person. Bobby wanted somebody, or wanted somebody, and they just thought they had to vote. I ain't said nothing, and I said, "No, I'm going to. I want Maddie Hunter." And the reason I had wanted Maddie at that time was because she was working with Vince Bateman, and she was working with Human Service, and I thought she had to come in touch of the community. And so I told her, "I said, you want to go first?" She was playing. I said, "Okay," and then she came on. And when we voted with the weighted votes that day, and John Daley gave me his weighted votes and the Hispanic weighted vote, she was in. But that was way because of the organizations that we had with all of us working together as one. Lou Jones, state rep too. Like, what, Lou Jones, we need to, we're going to build this center. What you going to do, Lou Jones, with us? Lou Jones had went down there to fight to make sure she helped us. Mark Smith make sure to help. I'm saying there's a way. You're not in office to be some king or queen and ignore your community, Ebony. Ignore your community. You're in office to, you're really in office to work on behalf of your community. That was the same thing with anything that we did. And all people, you're supposed to go in there and fight for your community, get your piece of the pie. I don't care who it is. I knew it was going to happen, so, hey, you want them two precincts taken. We won't mess with you. But we're going to take the whole state senate, take the whole Senate, Mayor. Matt, it would not have been senator if we had not had that kind of force. Not, you know, I'm just saying, because I was chairman of that. I was over that area. But how we worked together and how we worked, Beavers and all of us. Beavers and I couldn't stand it. We were fighting all. But when it came down, when Paul Williams, which y'all don't understand, Paul was my state rep. And him and Anthony Young got together. He said, we're going to go. And because they was not allowing, they was doing merit selection. You could not, all these judges that he putting out this stuff, a sub-circuit that y'all don't understand, you couldn't elect a sub-circuit judge because they appoint them judges. So Paul and Anthony Young, State Representative Paul, who's my state rep, we all had the same office, they put in a bill and they passed it where you do sub-circuits. Now, all the Democrats didn't go with them. Paul had to go with some of the Republicans with them to get that. So now you got all this stuff when you get the sub-circuits that we get more representation, and that's how you got all these judges is running, and they don't even thank Paul Williams and Anthony for what they've done. I said, go for it, Paul. I'm there with you. And I remember he's a medic and said, I'm going to call you a state rep. He said, go ahead. Dorothy said, somebody says, make no sense. Dorothy Tillman is her committee man. Told the state rep, I'm going to call you a committee man. I said, don't matter, because Dorothy Tillman is his committee man. And that's true. So they was able to get all these sub-circuits, all of these sub-circuits too. And now you got all these judges that be running, just got out of law school, got there everywhere. And never once do they come together to honor Anthony Young and Paul Williams. But Paul them understood government. That's why you hear these people say they can't do nothing. Don't y'all believe that? They too lazy to do something. They scared or they don't understand government. And the ones who do might be kind of scared of when they try. So that's how you got sub-circuit. When Monica Faye Williams was down there as state rep, she fought and she worked. Gus Savage, when he was the congressman, he was bringing all them federal contracts in. That's why they moved on him when Congressman Powell was in. They moved on him. Senator Brooks, Republican, moved. You know, I'm saying you can do things, but you got to understand you got to work for the people. But instead, there's a new group, not all. They make folks scared to talk to them. They're coming in like they're coming to a king or a queen. They're not doing what they're supposed to. Look, if you don't want the job to work on behalf of the people, you should not run. You got all these people not running for alderman because they're all calling me, a lot of them. I don't want to be bothered. I told them I ain't in it. And you got folks all running for mayor but without understanding government. Now, one thing I heard MacArthur said, he said when he get the gavel, he's going to make everybody on that floor read the Constitution aloud. I think every congressman should know the Constitution of the United States. I think every elected official should know the Constitution of the United States. They should know the Constitution of their city and of their state, and they should be able to work. Now, you got these other people in here, and that's what they're doing. True and all of them got organizations. They patterned themselves after us. And y'all said, we got folks, you tell me whether you got a community rep or a precinct captain. You tell me when you call, how is you represented? What's going on? These folks are somewhere else. And in the meantime, our community is suffering because they don't know government and because they don't work like they're supposed to work. That's one thing. The other thing is we're losing because we get in with other folks because we don't understand the power we have. We put Harold Washington there because of the power of the people. It had nothing to do with all this other stuff. And which we'll talk about. This conversation will go on to the election in terms of what we had with Harold Washington. We had a litmus test, how we put it together, how we got all excited, how we got the community excited, how we did all this stuff. It's not what y'all thinking. One, now everybody thought they could be mayor because Harold. And I tell you, and Harold Washington was the first black mayor, and that's when the mayoral thing got so important for black people. It was the congressional was the highest thing. That's what I thought about telling y'all. It was congressional. It had nothing to do And the people made a decision after Daley had a heart attack, Blandon came in, Jane Byrne screwed us, and we said we're going to get rid of her. We had a responsibility because we had put so much time into getting her in there. And when I wanted, will you support a black man in 83? Treat her, beat her. Harold would defeat her. We was meeting, we learned government, and we went in with a team. We didn't go in with one person want to be this. We weren't individual. We was like my pastor spoke last week about member, you know, how the Bible talk about each member. Member have his privilege, membership, but member, every part of your body have to work together as one. So we went in with a team with Harold. We didn't just send no willy-dilly. And we knew what our agenda was. First was to watch Harold's back, and second, to make sure the people got their resources. And I'll talk about Gutierrez and Chewy next week. He think he'll get in because he think he'll have. We're not going to give Chewy our vote. Johnson neither. You can stay over with the teachers union. You know, everybody wants to get in, but nobody's saying what they're going to do. Harold had a whole thing what he was going to do, and he fulfilled his promise, not just for the black community, but for Chicago, the whole Chicago that he represented. But he said, because I love black folks, do not mean that I don't hate anybody else. And all these folks are talking about the progressive. And at some point, y'all going to have to tell me what a progressive is, because I don't know what one is. They fighting over the progressive vote, y'all. They're not fighting over you. Look that they got you. Everybody, they said, Laura ain't progressive or nothing. Progressive leaving Laura. I'm progressive. I must be free. I'm there, la, la, la. And black folks left in the wind like they was with the state, like they was with the presidential, and everything else. And most folks wouldn't be here without black folks. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVL, number 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.wvn.com, iHeartRadio, tickets ready to go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and Block Talk if you want to get us. I'm going to go to the phone. Remember the last day to vote, to put your petition is the 28th. And they got this thing I forgot to tell y'all. Evan, you have to find out what it is. Well, they electing folks to be in the on the police board or something in their district. Not to the phone, y'all. Not to the phone. I'm going to Plump first, and I don't want you to take the 30 seconds, 6 seconds, because my board is lit up. Plump, and tell what you did for Harold Washington. Don't tell him about the jobs and all that. I already know. Tell him about Harold Washington and what else you're doing, and I'll be over there today putting that reef up when I get dressed. I should get there by 9:40 or something, and 10 or whatever. But you be there with me if you want to put the reef up. You can put it up with me, Plump. Don't take too. You can put it with me. Don't take too long. Hi, Plump.
We're on Yah Shalom. Yes, we love you, WVON. We will be remembering Mayor Harold Lee Washington with you at 9:30 this morning, and also Lou Palmer, WVON, Black Radio Station, the greatest station in the nation, and my superstar sister, Dorothy Tillman. We will be doing that, and also remembering Dr. Webb Evans and Pastor Sorten, all at the Lake Grove Village tomorrow from 2:30 to from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We'll be there at 3515 South Cottage Grove. And for more information, you can call me at 312-671-2773.
Thank you, Plump. Sorry, was a great person. Sorry, was a great person. Thank you. I tell you. Hello, Bess. How you doing?
Hey, Dorothy. How are you this morning?
All right, Westside Bess.
All right, that's me. Listen, Dorothy, I want to know, you had mentioned something about what Michelle had said, Michelle Obama, you said what something. I didn't hear.
Oh, I know. She was saying when they go low, she go high. I was talking about something different that Dr. King said about, Bevan was talking about the high road. When you be on the high road, I was saying that more folks like the low road than the high road. I was telling them, I'm confused what she was saying. Because folks,
oh, I thought you said she was confused.
No, I said I don't want them to confuse. Well, Dr. Kim, listen,
oh, okay.
more folks.
All right, George.
You got it?
Yeah, okay. Keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you, baby. And let me straighten it out. She said, when they go low, we go high. I was saying, I didn't want folks confused what I was going to tell them what we was told. I interchanged Bevel and Dr. King a lot because both of them, you know, influenced me a lot. They were saying that a lot of folks, ooh, this phone was ringing up. A lot of folks was like to be on the low road because it's crowded down there and you can't see. You can do anything you want to down there. You don't have to be accountable. You don't have to do nothing. You can mistreat folks. The high road, you know, up there, you easily see. So most folks don't want to go up there. And I was saying, don't confuse. They go low, I go high. That's all, baby. That's all I was trying to do. Anita.
Hey, good morning.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Dorothy. you from the South. Have you ever seen a Christmas tree with cotton buds on it, with the cotton with popping out the buds?
Why?
I bought a Christmas tree at the thrift store for the education here in Chapel mm-hmm. Hill.
Uh-huh.
And it had this on it with tractors. And I was telling Celine they should have put slaves there because we would have Santa Claus picking all that cotton for free. But can you dig that?
I
could send the pictures some kind of way to somebody.
Okay.
So you could go viral.
Okay.
But wait a minute. Harold Washington is my hero. He's my father of politics. And I stopped watching the news when Harold died, okay, because I think they did something to him. And then when I think James Brown passed after Harold, I think I started picking up on the news again because they were not about to kill the Godfather's legacy in my history and in my spirit.
Well, you know, I want people to come out and take pictures by Harold's statue today and tell their children who was Harold. Because he was our first black man. Harold put a lot into it, and he did what he said it was good. Thank you. We put a wreath out every – we commemorate his death every year. And when I was alderman, we put a huge tree on 47th Street, and we had a ceremony for the children, and all the children of the schools had to write something on Harold, and we would give them a book and a savings bond from Illinois Service Federal. For the winners, we had some people who was part of the ones who graded our papers. Vernon Jerry was one before he passed, but we kept it alive. Y'all might remember the big Christmas tree. I don't know. You might and you might not. Okay. David?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Stillman. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, David.
When Harold Washington won over here in the 16th Ward, I think this guy named Big Jim Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big Jim.
He had worked, yeah, man, we worked so hard to put Harold Washington in. So we went to the committeeman office,
Ebony,
and
uh-huh.
we said, where are our jobs at? And Big Jim Thompson said, oh, he ended the Patriot Act. Ain't no more jobs. Ain't no more of that. And, man, we really felt like we was pimped or something.
Okay, well, Big Jim Thompson was on the machine. And stuff like that. He was a committee from the old days. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thompson was from the old days. You know, the committee was really strong because based on how many jobs you got, that's how many votes you brought in. They would, how many votes you got, this, this, and that. You know, that's what they did. And they were shocked when Harold had won. Mama D.
Oh, hallelujah. Greetings to you.
And also to you.
Okay, I wrote a poem for Harold, and I'll always remember him for meeting with me and my preschool age class and their mothers on the fifth floor of City Hall, and we gave him 2,000 signatures for him to proclaim April 4th as a day of respect for victims of violence. And he did on March 13th, 1985. I mean, he hugged the children. He shook hands with them.
Yeah. He was very close.
Held them up in his arms.
Ooh, wait, Dad, this phone is, this phone is jumping, Mama D, so don't be long.
And I kissed him on each eye and each ear and a closed mouth kiss on the lips, and he said, you could have started with that. He was really funny.
Yeah, he was.
But the children really, really loved
him. He loved the children. Wherever he was, he would go to the child over the adult.
I interviewed a 3-year-old, and she said her grandma cried, and she cried, and I asked her, why did she cry? She said, because he was a good man, and he read a lot of books.
Thank you so much, Mama D. Woo, Jesus. Okay. Phone is lit up here. Okay. Good morning, Jimelita.
Good morning. Good morning, Mama. And
oh, yeah. You was at the funeral of Harold Washington, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I was. And it is something that has been committed to my memory and to the reason why I work so hard and work with our team and work to empower young people because of the positions that I was put in very young and the things I was exposed to very early. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, I chose to take my I took my baby to the Harold Washington's funeral, and I think Suntab or Trib took that. I always remember your look when they was dropping putting Harold's body in the ground, Jim Lee, how you were standing there looking and crying. And I
it was a very difficult time to we were really wondering as young people what would happen next, mm-hmm. you know, and who was going to keep us safe if Harold Washington was no longer here. And it was one of those leaders that was like a real-life superhero to many of us because of the impact that he had on a lot of our families. And I'm talking about friends of mine that went to Beasley with us. And then some of my siblings' friends who went to Hyde Park, just the way that we all had to, it was an intergenerational sense of sadness.
Yeah. Well, I do know, I just want them to know that if they don't know what a joy it is for you to be executive director of the Harold Washington Culture Center, be it that you kind of grew up with Harold. And I remember you asked me, could you go to the funeral with me? And I told you, yes, I dressed you and I took you with me. And I will always remember that look on your face. I think it was Jesse grabbed you and hugged you, I think.
It's a historic picture of me and the mighty Reverend Jackson right by the gravesite, and many people wrote me down as Reverend Jackson's daughter. I was like,
you might be. Who knows?
Those
were the headlines.
Don't tell Jackie. Those were the headlines. And it was like a picture of me, and I might have been in third grade at the time. And so a lot of my friends said, I didn't know Jesse Jackson was your daddy.
you had broke down so hard. I remember he reached over there and he grabbed you. And
yeah,
I just,
it was so
uh-huh.
loving. It was so loving. That uh-huh. It was just, it was a time to remember. And now, you know, we rejoice in being able to continue on the legacy of embracing and empowering the young people at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. It's a humbling honor to serve the community with programming and production.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're going to go over to Push With Me this morning. You also, you know, and at Hubbard, I know you love her dearly. They're going to be celebrating her today, and you're going to go over with me, right?
Absolutely. We're going to be in the community, and then today we're definitely going to be at Operation Push, commemorating the life of Harold Washington, as well as Mayor Harold Washington, as well as celebrating the accomplishments and the legacy of Judge Arnett Hubbard. We're really proud to be a part of that. I'll be there. A couple of the cast members will probably be attending. I'm always honored and humbled when you extend the invitation for me to join you at such a memorable event as this.
Well, that's because since you've been a baby, you wouldn't stay with nobody. Nobody wanted to keep you. You hollering and screaming. But you also, today as we put the reef, because we're going to put the reef and then we're going to go on over to Push as we celebrate,
yes.
you know, Harold, commemorate Harold Washington's death. And if anybody want to join us, they can. We will be out there. Jim Lee, I want to be out there at 9:45 because I want to go on over to Push at 10.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be done in the gym, so I'll be ready.
Okay, but you're doing something. Aren't you doing this play at the Harold Washington Cultural Center? When does it open up?
Yes, we are. We're doing the...
I haven't heard the commercial today, neither.
A play? Drop that needle. The Queens of the Palace opens up Friday, December 9th, and we're really excited. We've been getting a lot of love in the community everywhere we're going.
Wait. Evan, what is Justin telling me? He haven't played the commercial. Okay, go on.
Okay, and the great thing about it is from the senior buildings to the beauty shops to the barber shops, we've been getting like a lot of support. People have been calling for their groups. There's still tickets left and available. We want you to continue to support live theater, especially at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, because it goes a long way with the young people, the programming that we're able to sustain, and the impact and reach. The arts is a form of therapy for many people, and we give you that opportunity with Queens of the Policy at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. Now, Mom, I want to touch on this. We talk about some of the sides that you don't think about, which are some of those people that kept women honest. Everyone from Miss Eunice Walker Johnson to Mary McLeod Bethune. You just really won't see the you people don't know the connection between them and the women that were queens of the policy.
I tell you, not only that, you know, Jim Alisa, what you don't know, Eloise Hat Shop. I just get my hat shop. She used to do all of the hats for those queens and for the people who were singers and stuff, and then you had a lot of folks who did all that stuff. It's really something. I'm proud of the Queens of Apollos. Now, what do you say that you have what now?
So, and another great piece to it is we look at a lot of historical context within Chicago, from the flower shops, the finishing schools, the ballet schools, and all of that. And I want to encourage young people who are listening today, talk to your grandparents. They know about this stuff. And this was a way of cooperative economics in a whole different
way. Yeah, half of them was accepting that money for them policies, for them little nickels and dimes and all that. But, Jimmy, so you got those coupons or whatever for what you had now?
Oh, so we have vouchers for the entire weekend for this Black Friday, Cyber Monday. We have the 2-for-1 vouchers that we're popping up at the churches. We're popping up at your barbershops. You got a place you want us to come bring the vouchers, we will. Just give us a call at 773-373-1900.
Okay,
and we'll be bringing the vouchers.
Hurry up.
Thank you all. Thank you, WVON. Thank you, Mama. See you at 945 or 930 to get you that 945.
Okay, baby. Love you. Justin. A little under the weather here. We'll get the commercials on in a minute. He's a little under the weather. Reverend Weatherspoon?
God bless you, daughter.
God bless you, too.
We thank God for Harold Washington. He lived through us. And George Herbert, they all lived through us. We keep their legacy alive by pushing their vision and standing up.
You know, Arnett Hubbard's still alive now.
Amen.
Arnett Hubbard, Judge Hubbard is still alive. That's why she getting her flowers while she lives. You know that song, "Give Me My Flowers While I Yet Let Year." Well, she got hers, and Reverend Jackson and Push is honoring her today, and I think that's so wonderful that Push is going to give her flowers while she lives because she's been a great person. We always look for folks to die. So she's still alive.
Hey, amen. We thank God. We'll be listening on the radio. See that grace like with you all in the spirit.
Thank you. I think they tape and play it the next week, so you probably get it next week if I'm not mistaken, because they still
bless you. Love you,
love you too. Love you too. Ron.
Hey, good morning, Miss Tillman.
Hey, good morning.
Dear friend. Real quick regarding Mayor Harold Washington, and we always talk about he was the first, but you know, Miss Tillman. And he went beyond that. Because you know what? It's been a lot of firms since him who haven't done what he has done.
No.
So not only was he the first Black man, he was the first fair.
First fair. He wanted to be known as a fair mayor, too. You're right.
Absolutely. And because I'm telling you, we get some other firsts in there, Ms. Tillman, and this is the first. And Ms. Tillman have not been fair. And that's all we want.
Well, you know what's so sad, Ron, is that as long as we've been in this country, we are still talking about the first. You know, I'm the first person to be on the board as long as we've been here. But the thing about Harold is they got to understand the circumstances and why Harold was elected. He wasn't just, I want to be the mayor. No, he wasn't elected like that. Harold told me, he said, Dee, I said, what? Come here. Don't let nobody say you know with nickels. That's what you mean. You don't let nobody say you know with nickels. And I used to hear my grandparents say that. I didn't understand about the wooden nickel. One of them would say, that wooden nickel, nigga, and about a wooden nickel. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you can sell them. I won't tell you what he said. Tell them, nigga, and I just paint it black. Just paint it black. You can sell them anything. They go to the store and try to spin the nickel, and the nickel won't spin. So he said, don't let them give you no wooden nickel.
and speak to that next week, like you said, we need to talk about this nonsense about progressive. All that is what their agenda is. Because they said Lori was progressive. But don't fall for Brandon Johnson. That teachers union went after Janet Jackson.
They went after me, too.
So they have no respect. No respect for Black people. So don't fall for him or Chewy. Okay.
They did not save the fact that we don't have that many Black folks when all those Black teachers were getting fired that they set up. Thank you, Ron.
We're talking in depth
about what is a progressive. I'm tired of this mess. They don't say nothing about Black folks, nothing about the children, nothing about other folks. It's not about the human. It's about the progressive. The progressive. What the hell is a progressive? Thank you. Thank you so much. Art. Hello, Art.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Ms. Tillman?
I'm fine, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing great. First of all, I think what Ron said is very, very on point. Somehow we have to put Harold Washington's relevance and the impact that he made in the city,
mm-hmm.
a racist city, whereas in the schools where the young people could connect to it, just like Spanish people connect to their men and women, that's their legends or those they feel have great respect for. So that's the responsibility of those who know better. So we have to figure out a way to get that done. And the impact for me, because that was in 87, 88, or 89.
87.
That was the biggest. That's correct. And I was graduating from high school. And to see my father and droves of black men walking, because I lived on 74th and St. Lawrence, and we walked up to Tanner School. That's where you had to vote at. And see droves of men holding hands with their sons walking to vote was the most impactful thing that I've ever seen.
You know what, Art? It was as impactful as the Million Man March. It was very impactful.
Absolutely, it was. No, absolutely was.
Because on the day of the big Million Man March throughout this country, there was no violence among black folks. We had no violence in the city of Chicago, no violence anywhere.
Exactly. And the city of Chicago is such a highlighted city to see that. And then, unfortunately, when his passing came, the same impact when, you know, you saw down 71st Street and you saw the carriage going down. I mean, that was just so impactful.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's on the older people to implant that and have that into the schools. And last point, when you were talking about the Chicago school system and that the young lady who walked away, the question should be, they should be asking her, why would a black woman walk away from a position like that?
Who walked away? Wait. No, I'm missing. What lady walked away? I missed that.
The one that used to be over the school that Ron was talking about, that she used to be the over the Chicago Public School, the
No, I know he said you know my Bird, Lady Bird. Oh, you know my Jackson, the one that left Jackson.
What? See, this is where we go wrong yet, real quick. Why would she walk away? What going on that she realized that she would not be able to make the necessary changes to impact?
Well, she did know one thing. I can say this. I don't think she particularly liked about what was going on with the black students in terms of their education. And I don't think that she was pleased, this is me, pleased with all the black teachers being fired. That's what I think, Ron. I don't know for a fact, but anyway, Art, I mean, and we're going to be putting, you make sure you go by and get a picture of that, when we put his wreath by his, and get a picture.
And Ms. Tillman, and please, you and those men and women that standing with the truth about Harold Washington, have to figure out a way to get this type of education as a part of the curriculum to learn that for black children, because if you don't, his memory is going to fade away.
Uh-huh.
And like other people, other ethnicity memories, they hold on to, and we seem to let ours fade away to our youth. I leave it there. May God continue to bless.
Thank you. No, I don't think I'm going to take any more. Am I taking any more calls? I'm not taking any more calls today. Thank y'all so much. If y'all want to talk next week, y'all can. Let me say, we said, put a dollar in the bell. Don't forget about Eddie, about Reed. What's his name? Joe, put a dollar in the barrel for Harold. You got to understand that most of these folks are not supporting Harold. You can put it, I'm going to do you at the power. okay. Tell Jimmy dropped off vouchers all in his office. She said, tell all of you can get them there. Okay. Oh, you just thought you got the power. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Butler's sister. Oh, I didn't know a sister said that. Who? Oh, really? Butler. Yeah, she was in that movement, too. Anyway, I can't see all that, Ebony. You got the power. But let me just tell you that all the grassroots supported Harold. The middle class was scared to wear his buttons. They got beat up on the sidewalk. Jane Byrne put them in jail. Put them in jail to keep them from being able to vote. Stop running the trains on the south side and the west side to keep them from being voted. That's the power that the people had. Not only did they stop that, it was the grassroots people, those brothers and sisters, and with Robert Taylor, Quinn Dixon, and all them other world, Lovey Copeland, them brothers and sisters on the west side, Henry Horner. That's why they showed out in them development. Because that was power. When the gang stopped fighting, and start wearing them buttons and knocking on the door for Harold. The brothers and sisters who wasn't scared. And after he won the primary, then they start wearing their buttons. They were scared. That ain't gonna happen, girl. And let me also not forget to tell you historically. Oh, Maddie Butler passed. I didn't know that. That was my sister. She worked hard for Harold. I don't have the information about her funeral. I don't know. It's today. 7724 State Street. I can't come, but Maddie Butler, okay. Okay. But, I saw that and kind of threw my... That was a power that the people had with Harold Washington that wasn't afraid to stand. And let me not forget about the history of the Parent Equalizers of Chicago, which I was the president of. We gave our office over there on Van Buren next to Ronnie because folks would not rent. They would not rent an office to him. They knew it was the power, that the people had the power. They knew, and they wouldn't rent him an office downtown. So we gave up our office and ended Parent Equalizer and let Jack and all of them went down there so he could have a downtown address. After he won the primary or thing else, he was able to go everywhere. But folks talked that stuff, but they were scared to death. We thank God for Harold Washington. I tell you, we thank God for folks like Jack Grimshaw and all them, the grassroots. Will, the grassroots. All them grassroots people who believed. And it's always been the grassroots that fight, get beat up, give their life. And those who was afraid walk in after the victory, push them aside and take it. So next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman said, we know you got the power. Found the power to lay that mountain down. Yes, I found the power. Today, Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr. and Bishop Travis Grant are honoring the Honorable Judge Arnett Hubbard for her consistent support over the years. You got the power. Until next week, you got the power. Woo! Got the power. I feel it, y'all. Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen to that music, y'all. That's what we do at the Harold Washington. 773-373-1900 for Jim Alita. I haven't heard that commercial today. For Jim Alita. Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman saying, you got the power. Until next week, y'all. You got it, power. You got it.
You have got the power.
Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman saying, reparations now. Regina funeral, info. Come, Maddie Butler fought very hard over there in her community. She was a great sister. I'm sorry. Well, Jerry Butler says, I'm sorry, Maddie. God bless her. We getting up out of here, y'all. We getting older. We leaving. And Regina, two great black sisters is gone, become part of the ancestors, the angels. For us, Regina Gover and Commissioner Butler, sister Maddie Butler, a fighter, two black women. They going to join Marion Stamps, y'all. See you later.
Is this nation's foundation of economy? What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON Berwyn, Chicago.
At the University of Chicago required a response from the Dean of Social Sciences Division at the school. Amanda Woodward said in a statement, a crucial aspect of academic freedom is the ability of the instructor to design courses and curricula that foster debate and may lead to disagreement. The Critical Race and Ethnic Studies seminar examines the problem of whiteness through an anthropological lens. Cultural anthropologist Rebecca Journey was scheduled to teach the class in the winter session, but the class at the University of Chicago was moved to the spring after harassing emails from students. Professor Journey told the school newspaper these harassing emails have included death threats, veiled threats, threats of sexual assault, as well as misogynistic, racist, and anti-Semitic languages. The class will still be taught with the same title and content in the spring. Morgan State University is the recipient of an $11 million annual funding program from the state of Maryland for the five new critical research centers. The launch of the centers, which include the Cybersecurity Assurance and Policy Center, Center for Urban Health Equity, Center for Equitable Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning Systems, and the Center for Urban Violence and Crime Reduction. The university will hire 44 tenured or tenured track full-time faculty members. We appreciate the level of support the universities received under Governor Hogan's administration, said David K. Wilson, president of Morgan State University. He went on to say, we look forward to a continuation of investment from incoming Governor Wes Moore. Morgan's progress makes for a stronger Maryland. I'm Kevin Brown. Along